There are many emblems of the Spirit of God in the Word of God. And I believe this morning you may be familiar with many of those. But as I introduce this message this morning, I want very simply to leave some of those symbols, some of those emblems before you. You may remember when John the Baptist was preaching, and we have his words there in Matthew chapter 3. He indicated that he would baptize with water, but one would come after him who would baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So the Spirit of God, there is this symbol of fire. And I think of William Booth. We've been singing a hymn of William Booth. He was the founder of the Salvation Army. He did a tremendous work for the Lord in the east part of London. But in that hymn, "Thou Christ of Burning Cleansing Flame," he speaks about the great need, send the fire. And one of the stanzas he wrote, "The fire will meet our every need, send the fire." And that surely is the need for today, that the Spirit of God would come, that the breath of heaven would come upon the church, and every believer, every member of the body of Christ, that God would come and that he would send the fire upon your life as you lay it afresh upon the Lord's altar. You know, we want to be like the cherubims. Literally, that word means burners for God. Those who were burning for God. And I would desire that you and I would burn out for God. William Curry, the great missionary to India, when he went to India, he went to blaze a trail for Christ. And that's what this generation needs, beloved. You and I to blaze a trail for Christ. And that will only happen when we are filled with the Spirit of God, when we are baptized with the fire of God. But the Lord Jesus also spoke of the Holy Spirit under the symbol of water. John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. There the Lord said, "Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." But this spake he of the Spirit. You see, without the Holy Spirit, the life of the child of God is dry and barren. There is no fruit for God. Not only is it so in the Christian life, but also in the church. But when the Spirit of the Lord comes to our hearts and to the church, it is then that the church is like the garden of the Lord, bringing forth much fruit to the glory of God. So would we not pray this morning, send the water, send indeed the refreshing water, the reviving water upon our hearts, O God. Send the Holy Spirit now, even upon us. So not only do we see fire and water, but the Holy Spirit also is likened to oil. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, speaking of the Lord Jesus, it indicates that he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Do you know, this is speaking of his baptism when he began his public ministry. You remember there in the rivers of Jordan, that not only was he baptized with water by John the Baptist, but he was also baptized with power, anointed with power for his work, his service, for his heavenly Father. He was anointed with the oil of gladness. And we need that oil. We need to be anointed with that holy oil. You see, we are to be lights in a dark place. And this world spiritually is a dark place. Many sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. They have been blinded by the God of this world. But the Lord would challenge you and I this morning. And he would say to us, beloved, though we are to be filled with the Holy Ghost, we must come this morning and pray with the psalmist. In that Psalm 92 verse 10, he said, anoint me with fresh oil. So as the light was in the sanctuary, and it was radiant, it was illuminated, that dark place. So in this world, we as lights, let us be burning and shining lights. Let us be filled with the oil of gladness. Then we come to our text this morning. Here we have another emblem. Here we have another symbol. It is that of the wind. On the day of Pentecost, here in Jerusalem, the early church, the promise of the Father was given to the church. The Comforter came, another Comforter, their blessed Paraclete upon this earth. And he's likened here to wind, a sign from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. And when we think of the wind, we're thinking of the breath of God. It's what the hymn writer said, breath of life comes sweeping over us. As it was at Pentecost and this infant church, they were filled with the Spirit of God, with the wind of God. May it be so in this generation, in this age, that the Holy Spirit, the windows of heaven will be opened, and the Lord will pour this blessing upon our land, upon our churches once again, for Jesus' sake. So this is the urgent need. Breath of life, sweep over us, we pray. What a difference that will make. For when the Spirit comes, there is life. There is peace. There is joy. And when you think of the vision that Ezekiel had, you remember the valley of the dry bones. In Ezekiel chapter 37, a mighty army had been slain, and the bones were brittle, dry, and broken. And yet the inquiry was, can these bones live? In Coleraine, many slain by the enemy, the adversary. And we ask, can they live? Well, the Lord said to his man, the man of God, prophesy, preach, speak the word. But then, wind of God, blow upon the slain that they will live. The Lord has ordained the means, the preaching of his word. But he has also given to us the Holy Spirit, that we would not labor without the help and the assistance of God. So as we look at this symbol this morning, the mighty rushing wind, I want you to notice four great truths about this spiritual wind. First of all, God's sovereignty is seen in the blowing of the wind. God's sovereignty. I want you to think about the natural wind for a moment. No matter what direction it blows from, when you think of the winds, they are under God's command. They are under God's control. Let me illustrate that for you from an incident on the Sea of Galilee. I am sure you are familiar with it. The disciples, they are in their boat. They are experienced fishermen. And yet on the boat, there arose a great storm, came through the valley of the Dove. And in a moment, the sea is tempest. There is a raging storm. They fear for their lives. But the Lord Jesus, who is asleep on the boat, arose. He said, why are you so fearful? And he told the winds and the waves to cease to be calm. What was the response of his disciples? Matthew 8:27. What manner of man is this, that the winds and the waves obey him? You see, the wind obeys the Lord. He is its creator. He is the maker of all things. And when you think of the wind where it blows, it indicates to me it blows where the Lord wills it, where he wishes it. It's under his command. And we can say the same of the working of the Holy Spirit. God is sovereign. Where I see the Spirit of God at work, convicting men of sin, righteousness and judgment to come, I see here God's sovereign, providential dealings with a people and with a nation. You may remember what the Lord said to Nicodemus, that Pharisee, that religious man. In John chapter 3, verse 8, he said to him, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. Canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God." Literally, the word listeth means where he wills, where he wishes. You know, today, we see the gracious moving of the Spirit of God in parts of the world, in nations. Nepal is a great example of that. In recent years, men and women who worship idols, thank the Lord, they are serving the true and the living God. And we see God's grace in their hearts and in their lives. But why is the Lord at work there? Why are people being converted in a place like Nepal? It is simply because the Lord wills it. He wishes it. God is sovereign. Just as the natural wind blows where he pleases and is under his control, so that is happening in Nepal. We in Ulster need a spiritual awakening. We thank the Lord for what has happened in the past. That is our hope for now, that the Lord is the same. He is unchanging. The God of our forefathers is still the God in whom we trust. Our eyes are upon him. What the Lord was pleased to do in the 1960s in particular, and we have read, we have heard from men in the church who lived in that generation, and they spoke of missions and hundreds converted into the kingdom of heaven, and churches in our denomination that were formed. You know, that was the Lord sovereignly working, graciously working in our land and in our country. And surely that is our need today. And we would come to the Lord and we would pray that the Lord might work for his great name's sake. Dr. Kenneth Connolly was a pastor in the United States of America. He was born in Sunderland in England. His ministry was spent in Texas and also in California. You may have some of his DVDs. You may have some of his books. He is now with the Lord. But this is how he defined revival. He said that revival is sovereign, sudden, selective, sensational operation of the Spirit of God. It descends amidst prayer, produces purity, and reaches the perishing. How did he commence defining revival? He said it is the sovereign operation of the Spirit of God. So I trust that you and I will see. Church cannot work up revival. Those have produced literature like R.A. Torrey, how to promote a revival. They are saying, here are the mechanisms. If you follow them, you will be assured of revival. I don't believe if we follow all those methods that he gave in his book, we are guaranteed revival. I believe the Lord wants the hearts of his people clean and pure. He wants us to pray, to seek his face, to claim the promise of the Holy Spirit. But I do believe God is sovereign. If he wills, if he wishes, he can breathe again upon our country and our nation. So I trust that you and I will see, first of all, that the Spirit of God, the wind of God, we see here God's sovereignty in the blowing of the wind. But I want you to see the second thing. Not only do we see God's sovereignty, but we see there is good speed through the wind. What a marvelous invention is the aeroplane. I'm sure that recently you have had a flight from Belfast or Dublin to another place of destination. I know that was so with me recently as I took the services over in Lewis. I left Belfast for Gatwick. And as we were leaving the airport, we were delayed. We were slightly late. But yet we got there on time. The reason was the wind was in our favor at our tail. And with the wind, we made good speed. We made good progress. If it was in our face against us, we would have been very late. But at the tail, we made good speed. Brethren and sisters, it's important for us to understand this. The work of God must be done with the help, the aid of the Holy Spirit. If you try to serve the Lord in your own strength, you will make no progress spiritually. None whatsoever. As a Sunday school teacher, as a youth worker, in your place of employment, are you seeking to serve the Lord through your own ability, your eloquence of speech? Or you may look back on your experiences in the past and say, I've had opportunity to do this before. That'll suffice for now. We all ought to see that the work will only go forward speedily, make good progress to the advancement of God's kingdom when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. This is this wind that causes the work, the witness, to make good speed. Do you remember that in the time of Ezra, you have it there in Ezra's prophecy, there was great opposition to the work of God. The enemies wrote a letter to the king called Darius. And that letter, we have it recorded there in Ezra 5 verse 8. This is what they said to the king. This work goeth fast on, and prospereth in their hands. In that day of Ezra, in that day of Zerubbabel, God's work made great advancements and progress. Why? Because it was by the Spirit of God. The Lord reminded the leader in the work, Zerubbabel, it is not by might nor by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So how important it is for you in this Sunday school work, dear child of God, how important it is for you to wait and to ask, Lord, fill me baptize me, endue me with power from on high. We need to see a work of grace, salvation in the hearts of the children. Perhaps you have been toiling. You've been putting much human effort into it, but you've seen little progress. That's exactly what the disciples were doing when they were on the Sea of Galilee. You remember how that the Lord said to them, "Get to the other side of the sea." He was alone on the mount praying. And as they sailed across the Sea of Galilee, they encountered the storm. And it speaks there in John chapter 6, how that they were toiling and rowing. These strong fishermen, they were exerting all their physical energy. Were they making any progress? None whatsoever. Perhaps the winds were driving them back toward the shore. The lesson the Lord is saying to us is this: you will only make good speed in your work, in your service for God, when you know the hand of the Spirit of God upon you. It is not by might nor power. It is by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Have the Spirit of God upon you, the hand of the Lord mightily upon you, as you teach the children. I believe he'll make you like Edward Kimball. He was a soul winner amongst the children. Great joy of leading D.L. Moody to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mother in the home with your children, training them up in the way to go. Know the Spirit of the Lord upon you, and the Lord will make you a Susanna Wesley, a blessing, the great joy of introducing your children to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the church today needs progress. We need advancement. God's watchword to the church is, go forward. And it was Hudson Taylor from the China Inland Mission. He said, God's work is always advancing. I know it is. In parts of the world, we see it advancing. We see it making great inroads. We see God's kingdom of grace coming to the hearts of many. But may we come this morning and may we claim this gift. May we take the Lord at his word. If we've been evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask of him? Ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then I want you to see, not only is there God's sovereignty seen in the wind and good speed through the wind, but there is great strength in the wind. You know, when you think of the power, the force, the might of the wind, you see that there are hurricanes, there's all our fierce winds, strong winds. What great power they demonstrate. That huge trees, cedars, can be blown over. And we need strength. For of ourselves we are weak. But the Lord giveth power to the faint and to the weak. And this is the secret of service for Christ. It is being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And this is what we need, beloved, in our service for the Lord Jesus. We need this strength, this might of God, being strong in the Lord. That's how Gideon served the Lord. He was a mighty man of valor. I read of it there in Judges 6, verse 12. But he was a mighty man for God in his generation, for the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and made him a great giant for God. So we need to rely on the arm of omnipotence, on the hand of God. For only then will the church move as a mighty army for the Lord. Terrible with banners. You know, we need to stand up for Christ in our generation, for the crown rights of the Lord Jesus in this evil day. We need still to stand against the apostasy when others say that we should be reaching out having fellowship. We say no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We reprove them. Elijah stood against the apostates in his day on Mount Carmel, and he was able to stand against many. For here was a man who stood in the presence of God, and it was there God's hand was upon Elijah. The secret of his strength was this. 1 Kings 18:15. He stood in the presence of God. So I trust we will be strong for the Lord through the might of the Holy Spirit. Martin Luther, German reformer, he stood for the Lord in his day against the king, the empire, against indeed the cardinals in the Roman Catholic Church. There at the Diet of Worms, he said, "Here I stand. I can do none other. God helping me." It was only the help of the Lord enabled him to stand boldly, courageously for the Lord Jesus Christ on that occasion. And in the workplace, when others, they deride the name of the Lord Jesus, we want to stand for the Lord Jesus. We want to stand up for him and not be ashamed of him. Not to disown or to deny him. And it's only when the Lord comes to our hearts and fills us with the Spirit of God, baptizes us, will we be strong in our generation for the Lord Jesus. Henry Cook, Dr. Henry Cook, was able to stand in his day against Arianism, Unitarianism, in the Ulster Synod. And here is a man of God who was filled with the Spirit of God. So how important it is that in the church there will be pillars in the church. One last thing, and it is this. Not only do we see God's sovereignty in the blowing of the wind, not only do we see good speed, progress when the wind blows and is in our favor, and great strength, enablement through the wind, but then there is a glorious sound through the wind. When you think of wind instruments, whether it be a flute or a clarinet, when it is put to the mouth of one who is able to play it, and he blows through the instrument and touches all the right keys, there is a glorious sound when the wind blows through the instrument. And it is God's will for his people to be joyful. It is the Lord's will for his people to praise him. When I think of Billy Bray, the Cornish miner, converted from alcohol and the vices of sin, as he walked, he would shout hallelujah, and then with the other foot, praise the Lord. You know, it is so important that in this generation, we are a people who are continually giving thanks unto the Lord for his goodness, his mercies that endure forever. There is a connection between being filled with the Holy Spirit and a joyful believer ever praising the Lord. You'll see it there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. It speaks about not being drunk with wine wherein is excess, but being filled with the Holy Ghost. The next verse says, speaking melody in your heart, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So how essential it is that we would ask the Lord to come upon us and to anoint us, to fill us with the Holy Spirit, so that there may be that melody from our heart, and others will hear it, and that they will be able to say, the Lord, He has done great things for them, whereof they are glad. Let me close this message with a story. True story, set in Germany in the 19th century. It concerns a young man that went to a church in a little village in Germany, and the purpose of going there was to play the organ. He had heard of the beautiful melodies that were heard through the playing of this organ. He longed to play the instrument. So when he knocked on the door of the church, the caretaker opened the door, and the young man asked, "Can I play the organ?" The response of the caretaker was, "No, you may not. There's only one permitted to play the organ, and that's the organist." But the young man was not put off. He said to the caretaker, "I have asked for leave from my regiment, from my commander, and I have walked a long way. Can I not play the organ but for an hour? I'd love to play it just for an hour, and then I will make my leave. My regiment leaves in the morning. We're going to another front to fight the battle." The caretaker's heart was touched, and he said, "Come in. You may for an hour play the organ." He gave him the key to the covering over the keyboard. Young man sat down, unlocked the cover over the keyboard, and began to play. And what music filled the air. What beautiful melodies. The caretaker sat down. He believed that he was transported to heaven. And others from the village could hear the music, and they came too. When the hour was over, true to his word, the young man locked the cover over the keyboard, turned around. To his amazement, he saw the church was filled with people. He was approached by the caretaker. He said, "Young man, thank you for that hour. That was beautiful." He said, "Can I ask what your name is?" His reply was, "Felix Mendelssohn." He was to become a great composer of music. And as he left, the caretaker thought, things would have been so different had I not given him the key. But I am glad I give to this gifted man the key. And through it he made beautiful melodies that cheered my heart. The Lord is saying to you and I, give me the key of your heart. My son, my daughter, give me thine heart. Have you yielded your heart to the Lord Jesus? For when he has your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, he will make through you and your life a melody of praise, a beautiful melody in this world that others will take witness of. So I trust this morning that you and I will see that there is an emblem here, and it is the wind, the rushing mighty wind of the Holy Spirit. May we see God is sovereign. Yes, he answers prayer, but he comes where he wills. And may we pray, for Christ's sake, do come upon my life, the church, my community, this country again. The fields are white. And Lord, we need thee to bring in the harvest of souls into your kingdom. We want good speed in the work. Maybe we have been discouraged in the past, and children have stopped coming. You've tried to do your best, but what has lacked? Have you earnestly sought the Lord and said, I need the Spirit of God. I need your hand. I've tried other things, but like the disciples, I have been using my own energy. I've been toiling. I've been making little progress. And then know his strength, his power to be a witness even in this evil day. And then pray for that glorious sound of praise, thanksgiving, that beautiful melody in your life. Chords that are broken may vibrate once more. I trust the Lord will bless his word to every heart for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're turning, please, to the hymn 640. 640 as we close. Thank you for your attention this morning. And we'll close with 640. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us, and fit thy church to meet this hour. 640, we'll sing just verse 1 to 3. 1, 2, and 3, please.